If I'm going to do a basically video, well, it's a lot of time of research and playing it in the first part, because believe it or not, to make a comedy video about a job, you actually need to know about the job. So like a lot of people seem to forget that part. They're like, Larry knows how to play the game. I'm like, yeah, how do you think I made jokes about it?
somebody asked about content the other day, and I was talking about yours, and I was like, I don't know if Larry knows this, but sometimes his basicallys might accidentally be a guide. Like, there's a lot of information just subtly in there. You clearly know the job. When you're making a mockery, it's like, well, it's not wrong.
Yeah, you have to know. But yeah.
Welcome everybody to the Casually Hardcore Podcast, episode 30. Joining me and welcoming back to the podcast, Larry Czar. Welcome back. Happy Shadowbringers release. How are you holding up, sir? How's the expansion been treating you?
Well, Shadowbringers was the best expansion we've had by far. So, playing through, we were just like, I'm liking this more than Heavensward. Is that okay to say?
Yeah. When did you have that realization? Because we talked about that last week with Rubicon Vale from the Gather Together podcast. And for me, it hit me at level 73. Like once I kind of got into that 70, I was like, is this possible? Just like you said.
Was it Ilmeg or Raktika? Raktika.
It was Ilmeg. For me, like we talked about, like I've said it and I stand by it. Ilmeg as a zone with the phasing, with the music, with the fairies. I didn't think I was going to like the fairies. When they announced it, when we were all at a fan fest and they say fairies, I was like, okay. Like, all right.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
But I'm like, yes, fairies. But yeah, so like when did it hit you? Or did you see Raktika or like Ilmeg?
It was an Ardbert part. And I think it was around the Ilmeg thing, because in Ilmeg, he was talking about his Amuro, mm-hmm. right? And they had that whole interaction.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the fuck? This is terrible. So, yeah, I definitely, all the Ardbert scenes was like making me really feel like, I like this way better than Heavensward. I'm like, I'm so attached. Mm-hmm. And then especially when we were getting Emmett, so...
Yeah, and obviously, like we've done a spoiler show, so guys, just warning, if you're watching this, you haven't finished the story. While we're not necessarily going to engage fully into like spoilers, but we are in spoiler free zone. So if you want to remain, you know, completely quiet to spoilers, I would recommend maybe checking out this podcast later. Even though I'm not specifically gonna be like, and then can you believe?
Yeah,
the freaking moon came down and out came, you know, a chocobo, and we were like, that makes sense. That hasn't happened yet, so do not worry. So, Larry, we're going to be talking on this podcast kind of around focusing on Eden, the newest raid, kind of what we're thinking about coming into the future raids, but then also kind of the concept of content creation. I know that probably within our own community, over on YouTube, a lot of people are like, hey, are you working on this? And hey, are you working on that? So I'd like to get some insight from your perspective, from like just as content creators, like what are you thinking about working on? How do you kind of manage the, I want to play the game versus like, oh, I really think I have a funny idea or a kind of a video. That's going to be what the focus of the podcast is. And like we said, like we had Rubicon Vale on from Gather Together last week. We also want to thank our partnership with Exit Lag. We have a link in the description, guys. If you have any problems with lag, check them out. Get 3 free days. And if you want to sign up, you can use the code DUDEWORK for 20% with the business out of the way. Find us on Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, blah, blah, blah. Let's have some fun, guys. I'm like, I just want to dive in. It's like, there's the spiel. Larry, talk to me about your journey so far. Because like I would say the journey started back at Vegas Fan Fest. But you've already come out and said that, you know, this is better than Heavensward, best expansion so far. Like, I want to get some insight into your perspective of Shadowbringers, because we were all at the media event, and I had, I wouldn't bet money that it was better, but I'm happy, like, that it is.
Ended up,
Yeah, so I'd love to know your perspective on kind of the journey so far.
At the media tour, maybe it was a little honeymoon phase, I don't know, but at the media tour, I tweeted, I was like, this is going to be our best expansion yet. And that was talking about just gameplay wise. Mm-hmm. I wasn't even thinking story wise yet, just gameplay wise. I didn't even go to Ilmeg in the at the media tour. I was literally just in the, what is it called? The purple area.
Lakeland or Crystarium?
Lakeland.
Okay.
I was in Lakeland. Just this one road in Lakeland the whole time, just recording footage there. So, yeah. So maybe it was a little honeymoon to say that, but it ended up being true. And then going into it, like I said, like maybe about, yeah, like 73, 74-ish is when I was like, I'm definitely liking this more than Heavensward. Like a little before that with earlier on where you have the split path. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say a lot, but
yeah, good.
With the split path, I was like, this is cool. This is different. So yeah, pretty much that. And then I had, we had family coming mm-hmm. for this past week. So they were here for like 10 days. So we were like, we have to get everything we need to get done in like 6 days, I think we had. So we were like, not rushing through, but pretty much the same pace that we did for the past expansions and finished it in like 3 days. And it was just the craziest 3 days.
Like, so for those 3 days, like, what about that deadline? And then what about the game itself, like, really made it stand out as the best expansion that we've seen so far to date to you? Because you've played the expansions, you're well versed in the game and the world and lore. Like, was it the pacing? Was it the zones? Was it like the just like, because like you said, you're basing it originally off the gameplay. So what about Shadowbringers means that it's the best expansion so far?
Well, already knowing the gameplay from the media tour, and then there were a lot of changes for it, but the gameplay wise, it, the jobs that I played all felt really good. And then, I mean, everybody's going to say the story. It was, and really, it really is, because the story is just super crazy well written, not just for an MMO, right?
Right.
So, especially my favorite part, especially about the story early on, is all of the Ardvert scenes. Mm-hmm. And that just, you feel like you're going on a journey the whole time. I didn't leave the first the entire time I played, just for the immersion. I was like, I want to stay here because I don't want to go. I don't need to go back there to the source.
Screw so the source. We're done with the source. Like,
I'm done with the source. So I just felt like it really felt like a journey. And that was something that I thought Heavensward did well, was it felt like you were going on a journey with you and the NPCs. And Shadowbringers did that even better than that. And Stormblood was just whatever. Shadowbringers did that way better. So I think it was definitely that. It felt like a single player game. That's something that I just wanted to keep playing. And so if it, you know, just having that, when you log off, you're like, I really just want to go back and keep doing the story.
Mm-hmm.
Is a really good feeling.
Chris, what are your thoughts about the journey so far? Because we've all kind of been in the same kind of boat. And you, and so for Larry, who might not be aware, Chris dived headfirst into the story. As a notorious story skipper, he has been just eating it up. And the fact is like, there's things that he picked up that I missed. So it's actually really helpful to be like, oh man, I didn't register when I was in this, because I was thinking about something else. Chris, well, talk about the journey so far for you.
I mean, it's a weird moment when Brian said like he didn't really read one of the Aethercurrent quests, and I was like, oh, how dare you? What do you mean you didn't read it? Well, I was reading them all twice.
The reason he probably did that is because previously, a lot of the time, you could literally just skim side quests, but not in this expansion.
No, there is so much. You don't
get to play those again with New Game Plus, so pay attention.
There is so much lore that was baked in, and that's where it's like, when I've kind of talked with people like kind of about the story and the different bits of lore, there's stuff that I understood, and then their perspective on like this brings up like, oh, did he mean this or could he have meant that? And that's where there's a lot of room to play in the sandbox that Square Enix put together with the Shadowbringers. But Chris, go ahead.
So as of now, what I've done since our last podcast, when I feel like we had a similar conversation, I'm capped on Warrior. I've tried Titania Extreme. I've cleared all the Eden raids. I'm sitting in pretty decent gear, not full 440 yet. I haven't farmed enough of my goats. And then I have, we lost Larry.
Sorry, hold on.
He's going through screenshots.
And then I got my Fisher to cap. I got my Botanist to cap. Miner is coming up on 71. Gunbreaker is coming up on 71. So, like, I'm really just starting to work my way down my checklist.
Yeah.
It's overwhelming how big the game is. I don't have any of my zones to 60 of the gemstone things yet. I don't have any of my, like, there's just so much. And I'm seeing, like, Mione come out with a guide, like, look at all this cool stuff you can get from this zones vendor. And I'm like, when am I going to do that? So it's an impressive amount of content. And some small part of me is looking forward to when 5.05 drops and we get kind of, I assume that's when we'll be getting our Fanta Tomes, probably our crafting gear, Savage, like rounding out the 5.0 content experience. And then I can just buckle down and focus from then through until 5.1 and feel like I'm actually getting things done. Because right now I feel like I'm just treading water. It's an incredible amount of content.
Yeah, it truly is an incredible amount of content. And that's kind of what was kind of inspiring to a part of the topic of this podcast, specifically around content creation. Because it's like, you know, for like our channel, a lot of it, you know, for me, like I put out controller guides. A lot of people really like look forward to that and expect that. So I've been getting controller guide question after controller guide question. I'm like, I'm working on it. I promise it's taking its sweet time, you know, because there's a lot that I want to try to factor in. And personally, I like when we like you guys mentioned the story, nobody said anything wrong. But to highlight another thing that I think the expansion does really well for current content, and ultimately will be interesting to see how it impacts the previous content, is just kind of the quality of life for me from a controller player. Like on Summoner, on Scholar, playing on a controller, that's one of the things I took away from the media tour. I was like, thank goodness, because patch 4.4 really was a challenge on a controller, because they're like, here, have all these additional skills. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to have to take them mentally. I don't know why, but that's just, I had to take them in my mind. And I was like, okay, how do I make this work? But then returning to the 5.0, I'm like, this feels really comfortable, feels really fluid. And then going into the previous content, the only thing that I'm, the long-term of it is that I feels like the job adjustments are great for 71 or 70 to 80 and that kind of content. I feel like I am like a god in any previous content. Like we are just... things melt just like butter. And I'm like, I don't know if people coming into that for the first time are finding a challenge, but I'm finding it as a matter of like, how fast can we clear the
I did Crystal Tower and the last boss Phlegathon, he died before he did his second flare.
I've almost gotten there, but that was
what is
and
happening?
That's insane. Like, yeah, it's like, oh, we got one flare, you're done, son.
The one Asian flare.
It's going to be neat to see if people really go in and see if we can get them down before one player altogether.
Had like a pre-made 24, man.
Yeah.
I chain pulled as a gunbreaker. My healer went down because they stood in same AoE, and I had enough cooldowns to stay alive until they ran back.
Yeah, I think if you do a pre-made 24-man CT Crystal Tower, you could kill Phlegathon before the first.
That's possible. Like, yeah.
Chaos.
He was at 35 when for the first Ancient Flare, so
yeah,
I think you could do it.
I really appreciate what this expansion has brought, and it's really cool to see not just the story and so many people being able to enjoy it, but obviously the game delivering on something that, you know, kind of answering the question of like what is the future for this game, and they've resolved so many mysteries, and yet at the same time there is so many more mysteries now. Yeah. Like, where are we going to go with this? And honestly, I mean, I can't be happier, and I'm really happy with just the response for the dev team, because obviously they've been pouring their heart and souls into the game, and I think that's one of the things that it really connects. Because you talked about the Ardberg scenes, like those are incredible. Like the fact that our character can have, and you can have this inner dialogue monologue. It's such a really cool narrative thing that they did with the Warrior Light and Ardberg both being Warriors of Light in this case, and then being able to kind of have these conversations in private, you know, kind of reveal like innermost thoughts, and you can kind of, and then the UI change for how we like respond to things. I saw that in the notes, and I was like, now I love it. I'm in love with it. So let's jump in and talk about Eden. Obviously Eden is the hot new content. And then here in 2 weeks, Savage is going to be dropping. Larry, I'd like to know, like, what did you expect about Eden? Because we'd only been teased. Obviously, the Final Fantasy VIII reference is really throughout the entire expansion. But, like, what did you expect going in? Because I'm going to tell you this. Like, I was thoroughly surprised and thoroughly enjoyed it. Like, because I was like, I don't know what's happening. And then all of a sudden I was like, oh, I see what they're doing.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't know what to expect, but I had hopes where I was just like, I just hope that it feels good and tied into the story, mm-hmm. was my hope. And so we did kind of have that expectation at one point where they were like, where they mentioned that it would have to do with the story in some way. So finally going through it and being like, it is very integral to the story. So that's the thing I was most happy about, because we haven't had that since Coil, where it was very integral to the story.
Yeah, I was a little bit surprised by that it wasn't actually an MSQ. I was kind of like hoping that it would have that symbol to really drive people into it, but I get the challenge there with normal. Chris, like,
yeah, okay, that might be controversial.
It would be.
But, yeah.
So one of the things that I've been really delighted with this expansion, for the fact that we're all talking about story, rightfully so, is that something that plays second to story is the content, and it's not because it's not good. Like, I've been really impressed with the initial serving of dungeons. I think that there's a lot of mechanics in there that say, like, okay, pay attention. Like, we will kill you. Like, 100%, we will wipe this group. And so I was really hoping that Eden would not dial back on that. I was hoping Eden, if anything, would double down and say, if you're not going to learn mechanics, then you're not going to get this clear. And I think Boss 3 and 4 really did that. I was shocked at how low the minimum item level required was, considering Boss 2 and Boss 3. If you're standing in stuff, like, there's not a healer in the world that's going to keep you alive, and the amount of damage going out is a lot for healers to focus on if they don't feel comfortable with the new healing
changes. I don't know what you're saying, Boss 2 and 3. I did a 1 when we were waiting you to log in after dinner. I did 1 Eden with the group, and I was like, I am raising this other healer every 5 minutes. Like, it's just like, that other healer's dead, and I'm solo healing. And I'm like, it was fun, because I was like, I am healing off of no MP. Fairy, you do your thing. All right, lustrate. And we got it clear. It was just like, holy crap.
I read our clear in it, and we got a clear when we shouldn't have. Chaos. We lost everybody but me, the other tank, and one of the healers to the floor mechanic. Mm-hmm. The whole group.
Which one? 3?
Mm-hmm. Leviathan.
The double dragon fell right through the middle of the floor.
Yeah.
I can't stop looking at them. Like, I look over and it just drops like Coyote and the Acme thing, and like the whole party just falls.
Bye. Yeah, we had
were
that
all thing. Stacked up. They were like, okay, we're stacked.
Yeah.
So what surprised you, Larry, like from the four bosses? Like, do you have a favorite that you saw? You know,
well, I was just gonna say that, talk about defying expectations. Mm-hmm. The very first fight, we're gonna throw Eden at you.
Yeah.
Here's Eden Prime. It's like, okay, you hit turn 13. Dude, you're fighting Bahamut Prime or Alexander Prime. You know, here you go. You're fighting Omega right at the first trial.
Yeah. But so, we're not going to waste time. We're not going to tease this for the next 9 to 10, you know, 10 months.
That was pretty crazy. We were kind of losing our minds over that. And then especially the transition phase there.
Oh my gosh.
Just... we got thrown into a galaxy or something. It was the same summon from FF8.
Mm-hmm.
So, oh my god. But I think my favorite fight mechanic wise is a tie between the second one, I forget its name, and Titan. The second one, I feel like, at least for the normal difficulty raids, is the one where pugs can kill you. Because yes. You can, the mechanics yes. there, you can literally, like, if they fuck up, they can kill you. Absolutely. Versus a lot of the other fights are just dodge stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that one's going to be kind of the toughy one in Pugs right now.
Well, especially when we kind of, like, when we were kind of watching this as it related to Savage, and it's like, yeah. I see that, like, I bet we're going to see a twist on this, you know? You have that knockback that's like, you have eyes that are on players, you have knockbacks that are on targeting players. The timing mechanic on the second one, like, Chris and I ran it, and it's like, he's going back and scrubbing the footage, and he's like, we did not get this mechanic at all. We thought we did. Like, all right, stack up, guys. Okay, uh-huh. I guess we're good.
And then mm-hmm. we had somebody live enough for me to show how you're supposed to do it, but watching it in context, it was utter luck. Like, yeah. It was just luck that we were stacked there.
Oh, that's
like
funny.
If you watch it in like a full 40 seconds of context, like 20 seconds leading up to it after, and the fact that that mechanic then happened like immediately again after that, then somebody just died. It was.
Yeah, it's like it's a timed stack. It's mm-hmm. so cool.
Yeah. This,
like just a little tiny change to a mechanic and it made it like so much more interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Especially when you have a timed bomb, so you have to stay in the time stack and you're like, but your first reaction is like, take the bomb away. It's like, no. Right.
You're good.
Patience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the really thing that you
go ahead. People with.
So I'm really excited about the Savage Raid to see that, because the other thing that they've talked about is that in the previous, within Stormblood, we saw that they had that kind of fifth boss as a part of Savage that you got to a certain part, and they're talking about, how they're going to try to change that up a little bit this time. So I don't know if we'll actually see technically turn five as a part of Savage, or if that's going to be some kind of different transition where you pick your phase. Essentially, it is a turn five when you have to beat one boss to get to the...
I hope it's not a door boss, because I think they pretty much confirmed that they're just flat out not doing door boss.
Correct.
So I'm excited about that. What I could see them doing is a transformation, kind of like what they did in A12S with Alexander. It would transform and have the wings.
Mm-hmm.
So they could do maybe something like that. I would say my favorite Savage fights are always the ones that are slowly progressing throughout the fight and getting the fight is changing the further you go.
Mm-hmm.
Versus what we had in Stormblood was once you hit the halfway point in the fight, it would start repeating again, right? So all you have to do is just learn the mechanics up to halfway. Once you know that, you know everything. So it's just a home stretch to go from 50% to full.
Right.
But what I really want to see with this raid tier is that it's going further and further and further into the fight, kind of like turn 13, where by the time you reach the end, you're in after he does Terra Flare and all of his mechanics are completely different. You're in this whole different arena. It's much cooler and much more epic that way than if you're just I go 50%. We learned the fight. Here we go. Now we just got to kill it.
I think for me, from a surprise perspective, that I really like the theme of it is that we see the first version of Leviathan and the first version of Titan, which made me immediately say, especially how it relates to obviously Eden, being that we're returning etheric balance to the world. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, like from the elemental perspective, and then going off of the assumption that we would see like in 3 and 4 of each of them, the different primals. I'm assuming we'll see some kind of different fights. And then we could see like Ifrit and Garuda, Shiva and, and then, why am I drawing a blank? Shiva and...
Ramu.
Ramu, yeah. And so it's like to see them kind of like, it would be so cool. Cause like, honestly, like we said at the top of the show, like I have no real reason to go to the source right now. Like the source hasn't... It doesn't attract me at all, like anymore. When you step onto the source, like it feels like I agree with MX Elk. I'm like, there is something that is fundamentally missing about this place, and I'm like, gosh,
rejoin it. Yeah, good. Yeah, idea.
I'm like all about like, can we do a rejoining without like mass genocide? Like, was the problem that he didn't invest enough time in figuring out how to do it without murdering everybody? I don't know. Like 1,000 years is a long time, so we'll have to wait and see.
They were talking about like we had to like imagine previous fights, and we had to pretty much summon our own primal to kill it. I was like, and they were like for each of the elements, right? Mm-hmm. And they were like, we'll do water first, and I was like, water Bahamut. Earth Bahamut.
It'd be so interesting, and this is so out of left field and completely like I don't think it's gonna happen. But he keeps teasing the summoner Eggy Glamours, and as a fellow summoner, it would be so cool to be like, here's the can I get the first Eggies? Does that come in first? First flavor.
Yeah. I want two-headed Leviathan.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I don't. No. I don't want Source Leviathan. Get him out of here.
Mm-hmm.
I want first. I'm all about the first now. So from a Savage,
everybody sees your house. It's like, oh, you haven't visited the first in 30 days. Did we not tell you your house is gone?
That's fine.
Yeah, it's all part of the sacrifice, you know. Like I was willing to sacrifice that for the first. So, do you have any crazy predictions about like what you would like to see or expect for Savage?
Titan is gonna be the most amazing fight ever. Oh my god, we're gonna get like, quadruple, triple landslides into his Mario Kart phase while he's doing landslides and shooting bombs everywhere. It's gonna be the Mario Kart thing at the same time as all of the bomb thing that he does, and it's a pattern, and you have to discern the pattern in a different way than how they did it in normal mode, where it's not fully apparent.
Right.
Ooh. And landslides.
I put out the guide on that, and somebody goes, there's a tank swap in there. I was like, there is? And so I was main tanking it, and so apparently there's a debuff that I've been getting, and you're supposed to tank swap so that the tank buster doesn't hit you while you have the debuff.
Or just pretty competent healer.
And I was just eating. But in Savage, that's not going to be possible. There's going to be things. You're going to die.
I remember that, because we... At one point, both of our tanks got hit by the same thing, so they both had the debuff, and they were like, what do we do? And then they got hit by the tank bus, and they were like, oh, it was okay.
Yeah,
it was
fine. I was like, that one hurt, and I didn't even notice that I had a debuff. I was like, oh, you just pop more cooldowns. It'll be fine.
Just pop those cooldowns.
The second fight is going to be really interesting in Savage. It felt like what... Turn 7 could feel like, because it also had the shriek mechanic. So it felt like a lot how Turn 7 worked with Melusine, where you have the voices and the shrieks. So it's kind of like that, but instead it's bombs. So
which one had the a player turns into the eyeball? Because if you start
stone,
if you put multiple of those in play. Like, if you put two eyeballs at once or three eyeballs at once.
Like, the positioning is going to be really cool, what you could do with that. And then also with the spreading for the bomb, for the timed bombs, is kind of like how voice was in Turn 7, where you would have to, like, if you got voice, you would have to look away from the party so you don't freeze all of them, because it was like a cone in front of you. So things like that. Like, that turn specifically really reminded me of Turn 7, just with bombs. So...
Especially if the meteors are coming down while you're having to turn, and there's a meteor for every player, kind of like the pools in Titania X. It's like you've got to assign those. Those meteors are going to come down, and everybody has to be on them. Could be really exciting. That car mechanic on the last boss, that is my favorite mechanic out of all four bosses.
Can I get that as a mount?
That's what we were saying, too.
I think that's what Chris and I say like about
what
everything.
What did Mystic call it? Mystic called a Titan ATV?
Yeah.
Yeah, we wanted... When you're unlocking it and you go there in the car thing, the Willy Wonka mobile, my friends were like, yo, we're going to get this as the mount. And then by the time we got to Titan, we were like, can I get Titan as a mount?
Minion on the last boss, and the minion is Eden Prime. It's called Eden Minor. That's what it's called. Minor like child. M-I-N.
Oh, God.
M-I-N-O-R. And it's just a little, and it just flies around next to your shoulder.
I will also say that I did the fights on Black Mage, and it was hell, because it's so much movement.
Why? Like, why did you do Black Mage over Summoner? Why did you do Black? I mean, just for the DPS alone, because right now Black Mage number one. But like, did you do it just for the DPS, or did you do it? Like, I'm just curious. No. You
switch like Black Mage versus Summoner right now is. I'm having such a dilemma in my head.
Okay.
Because Summoner wise, I love. It thematically and visually is amazing and perfect, and I love it. But gameplay wise, it's incredibly clunky. It's a glitchy mess. So it's a super headache to play if you're trying to optimize it with the raid group, because everything shifts. Like there's like you can't even align things reliably. It'll shift. And that makes things incredibly annoying to do. So I ended up just going Black Mage. And then I tried to fight on Summoner 2 and it was okay. But Black Mage is just perfect right now. So I'm kind of waiting for the Summoner changes, because they need to change a lot to make it feel good.
What would you change about Summoner?
Ooh,
because I know what I would change about Scholar. But I'm curious as to what you would change about Summoner.
Hmm. One of the big things that makes it hard to align things correctly and your whole rotation is shifting a lot is the Dreadworm Trance and Firebird Trance sharing the cooldown and needing to push it on cooldown. So what ends up happening is, let's say Firebird Trance is ready, but you still have either, maybe you still have two Eggy Charges, or you have to use Eggy Charges, like one of each maybe. Mm-hmm. And when you use them, you have to wait for Ifrit to do it before you can even go into Firebird Trance. So maybe Firebird Trance is up and you're supposed to be pushing it right now because it's up, but you still have to wait for Ifrit to be doing his Eggy Assaults. So things get shifted like that. And then what happens if, because it's up, that's exactly when your dots needed to refresh. Mm-hmm. So now you're like going 2 or 3 seconds with no dots, and that feels like crap because now you have Ruin, where Ruin is buffed by dots, so now it's even worse that you lost your dots. So then you go into Firebird Trance and you're okay, but it felt really bad to have to delay it.
Yeah.
So what they could do to fix that is kind of have an Aether flow for trances. Mm-hmm. So you have a separate button that you can push that's on a 60-second cooldown. And when you push it, it gives you a Dreadworm charge or whatever, and then it'll let you within that minute time frame flexibly use Dreadworm Trance. But the other thing, the Trance Aether Flow, you can push that on cooldown with no problem, and you didn't misalign anything. So that would be something to fix it, or I don't know, they put a charge on it. I don't know, something where you don't need to go into trance as soon as it's off cooldown. Mm-hmm. Big problem right now that's making it feel really wonky.
Yeah, that's what I kind of found when I was playing it, because I was doing the Stone Sky C, just kind of rating, because I've been playing around with the controller guide perspective, and I haven't found the perfect fit yet for Summoner, because it's actually right now the kind of the Eggy Assaults are like, I'm trying to figure out the best placement for them, because if
you
I'm
have to push them so much,
right? And also, and for me, like, the challenge I have with it is that as I'm moving around, I tend to drop the Eggy Assault. Like, I tend to like focusing on everything else, and then I'm like, oh man, I'm at 2 stacks on Eggy Assault. Like, no, I need to make sure.
That's really bad, because then you're missing the Ruin Fours too.
Exactly. And that's so, the beautiful thing about it, because I love it feeding me Ruin Fours, because that's, and the fact that I can have that stack, and then it's like, oh, now I need to move 4, 4, 4, 4, 4, you know. So yeah. I do appreciate that. For Scholar, the not being able to Aether Flow out of combat is really a pain, especially like on big pulls. Because it's like, oh no, like, especially if the fight end, like a pull ends and you're like, oh, I was just about to get that full stack back. And we've got
thing happens with Summoner too.
Oh, it's so annoying. And then and then I would think probably like it would be neat to see Energy Drain brought back. But I like the change. Like, I've really like fell in love with Scholar playing it so far. But when I'm doing a like parsing with like a White Mage, like White Mages are just crushing.
White Mages are doing more than tanks.
Yeah, they are. Like, White Mages are destroying. So I wonder if we'll see some adjustments to the jobs there. Chris, do you have any thoughts about like your predictions for Savage? I know we kind of got on a Summoner Brosif rant thing there, but
no. I mean, there's a logic to each fight that says, you know, that they can definitely dial it up. I think turns 3 and 4 are going to be the most interesting ones to look at, because turn 3 really just felt like if you can just not fall off the level, you're going to get the clear. There wasn't really anything pushing DPS, and if everybody could just not fall off the level, it didn't even seem like the healers were struggling. And I'm saying that from, like, I was in a group that did have everybody fall off the level, and we were able to recover, and I think there were healers that were just doing reses for the remainder of the fight, and we were fine. And as two tanks alone on our own little island, I was able to just survive it with managing cooldowns and getting whatever heal they could throw my way. Turn 4, if you could not get hit by AoE, you lived, but people were getting hit. And so if you start doing what Larry was describing, where you start putting more stones down at the same time that he's trucking, at the same time there's a landslide down or the maze or something like that, and then if those aftershocks can trigger other aftershocks, then all of a sudden you end up in one of those positions kind of like Titania X, where, like, if you have to eat something, you're prioritizing what you're going to have to eat. So, like, how in the one section of Titania X you're just kind of like, ignore the brambles, they'll take care of themselves, and if you're taking damage from it, who cares, because there's just other things that are more important. So I think turn 4, I would love to I would love to see them just more, just chaos. Like, I want to have a headache from watching the streamers do it, and then I don't ever clear it myself. But that's my personal masochistic self. Like, I love watching streamers do things that I'm like, oh, I can't do that.
I like Chris is like, Chris is rooting for streamer suffrage over here.
That's my favorite part of Ultimates, is like, I have no desire to clear an Ultimate. I love that they're in game. Like, just wreck people.
Good for watching.
So good.
But with Titan, I feel like we can't even, like, I definitely want to have combining mechanics that we've already seen in normal, but there's going to be, you could tell, there's going to be a lot that doesn't even exist in normal, especially with Titan. Like, they're going to need to add new things in there that don't exist in normal yet.
Even with his character model, like, those shoulders and stuff could come off, those could insert in the ground and start digging up from below. Like, they're, even with his character model, there's other directions that they could go where they could just invent.
Right.
I don't know how to predict that.
He could transform into something else. He's like a mech thing. So
he could. Yeah.
That's why the designs for the first primals are so good. That's why I just like the, why is the first so good? Bring about, like, we got to get it all put together, because it's like, I feel like, man. Like, it just, it makes me...
Brian's an Astian over here.
Are we not? Anyway.
No, we're not.
Think about it. Anyway, we'll do...
Something else.
Not really. And at the same time, like, anyway, there's a really cool stuff going on. So I really kind of appreciated kind of that. So I want to kind of like pivot a little bit and have it kind of related, because at the beginning you talked about, like, you got family coming in town, and obviously they've been in town. So this is you going into the expansion saying, okay, there is a time frame for playing this game and getting these things done before we're going to, you know, do some family time. But as it relates to being a content creator, a streamer, a YouTuber in both cases, I don't know, like what, and that's what I just kind of curious is that, like, what kind of level of, like, is the community, like, waiting on and asking you about, like, hey, are you going to work on this? Are you going to make this? Or when's the next, you know, great, you know, video? Or when, like, what's that pressure like
right now? I can never satisfy the asks in ever. Like, it's impossible. I just have to I just have to do what I want to do and make what I want to make. Because, you know, I get asked for all different types of things, like, especially basically videos all the time. I'm like, it has to come when it's going to come. Otherwise it's going to be bad, you know? So
you haven't posted on this expansion, have you? Your last post was your Dark Knight video, which was beautiful, but that was June 25th.
Yeah. Thank you.
You have not posted since early access.
Yeah. I have 22 hours of footage to go through.
So one of the challenges then, probably, that it's not, at least I run into it, is hard drive space. I'm always running up against hard drive space limitations and not having enough of it right now. Like, how many terabytes do you actually have on your computer, like, available?
Well, OBS doesn't take up a lot of space when it records, luckily. I don't know how it does that, but I have what I record onto from OBS is a 2 terabyte hard drive, and then I have like a couple other terabyte hard drives, like maybe 3 of them, but most of, like, the raw footage is on the 2 terabyte drive, and like all the edited stuff goes on the, like, one of the 1 terabyte ones.
It's like, that's one of the things, like, I ended up going out and getting a 2 terabyte, because that's just like I'm hitting this wall, and then I feel like, oh my God, I have to delete this footage. And then it's like, now I have to decide if I really need to, like, what footage to keep, what do I can finally get rid of. And it never fails. I always end up deleting one thing. Then I'm like, a month later, I'm like, oh, now I got to go recapture that. Like, that is such a pain. It is content, like, first world problems, though. Like, literally first world problems.
It is. And you also got to make sure, even more first world problem, you got to make sure that it's a high enough speed. So you want to probably get the 7200 RPM 2 terabyte hard drive instead of the 5400
one. You're like, oh, crawling.
Like, my whole plan was, like, I need to get through, right? So, like, the 6 days that we had before family came was all playing. I didn't do video editing because it was that's just how much time I needed to be able to play it and get everything done.
Yeah.
So that I have 22 hours of footage from that, and I didn't get to edit it much while family was here. Like I did a little bit, but we were just so busy doing stuff that I didn't get to.
Yeah,
so.
When family comes in, I think that's, for me, I would say that it's always a priority. It's like if they're, you know, if they live next door and you see them every day, you're like, all right, I'm going to go edit footage. Yeah, but it's like, oh, you came into town? Like, let's make sure we see each other.
So like there was one point where they went out because they had like something planned. So I was like, okay, I'll just edit a bit. And I got through maybe like an hour of the footage. So I only have 21 hours of footage to go through now.
So like what, how long does it take you on when working on like a basically or one of like any other video that like essentially you spend that kind of time in? Like,
well, basically it's take a long time. If I'm going to do a basically video, well, it's a lot of time of research and playing it in the first part, because believe it or not, to make a comedy video about a job, you actually need to know about the job. So like a lot of people seem to forget that part. They're like, Larry knows how to play the game. I'm like, yeah, how do you think I made jokes about it?
somebody asked about content the other day, and I was talking about yours, and I was like, I don't know if Larry knows this, but sometimes his basically's might accidentally be a guide. Like, there's a lot of information just subtly in there. You clearly know the job. When you're making a mockery, it's like, well, it's not wrong.
Yeah, you have to know. But yeah, but so it's a lot of time of leveling a job, playing the job a lot, you know, researching all that stuff and knowing about it. So that time I can't put into a time frame. But when I start making one, maybe if I'm working on it like all day, which is previously how I used to do them, was if I worked on it for like, it would be like a week straight of working on it all day to get a basically video done, about that much time. Now I can't really do that, so it would be a little longer than that.
Well, yeah, the challenge that we have, you know, is that as opposed to like, oh, it's all the content that's out now, and you've already set the expectation that you will have those jobs and things like that level. How do you then prioritize? How do you then prioritize what to work on first? Like, is it, is it 100% like I feel like making X, or is it like, oh man, like, you know, here's a good pattern, here's what I, you know, here's what the community is looking for, or, you know, like what's your thoughts?
I feel like I used to,
we asked the tough questions
now
here.
Now what I do is I kind of just make whatever I want. What I used to do was really care about algorithm wise and like what would do well on the channel and like kind of structure it that way. And I guess I do still kind of think that way, because it's just, once you learn about that stuff, it's just ingrained in your head. So you think, right, you just happen to think that way. But then sometimes I'm like, I don't want to do that. So I'll just be like, I'm like, for instance, I keep getting asked for basically Samurai, and I'm like, well, I didn't make that. Drake made one, so you can watch his. I'll just make another basically Summoner, I guess. You know, I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do first, but like basically Black Mage, I don't need to make another basically Black Mage because it's been the same.
It's the same.
Yeah, like whatever the basically Black Mage video is, you can apply it to pretty much maybe even the next expansion. You know, 10 years later, and it'll probably still be the same video. So I don't need to make a new one of that. But Summoner could use another one.
Well, Summoner and Scholar, they split them without really 100% splitting them. It feels like they're holding on by just some light, small thread where they're similar. Because it's like all they share is technically Resurrection. Everything else shifted to the job.
Yeah, and Physic for some reason.
Well, Physic is still different, because if you go look at the class skills for the Scholar, Physic isn't a part of the shared class. Physic is actually a job skill. Then. Like, but it wasn't the way of the Media Tour. The Media Tour, there were more that were actually a part.
That's what I was remembering.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the thing. Like, it's interesting to see the changes over that time. I think Chris, like, I'm before I kind of go off on a controller guide stress conversation. Like Chris, like content creation wise. You crushed it with Eden. Like he worked on all four of those guides. Like how are you feeling?
Wait, you already got all four Eden guides out?
Yeah. Like he got up at four.
Oh, lunch.
He got up at four. He like we did it. Like he went through and made him, and then it's like, and then we went and played like Titania last night, and it's like, yeah, that didn't go well. It's like I think everybody was just exhausted.
I was tired. So content creation, well, so I try to, I operate on pretty much like 1 terabyte, and I've expanded it before, so I've got like an extra one back here. But what I found that did is it just let procrastination creep in. And so when I let like too much footage get in, what ends up happening is I get it in my head that I want my videos to be really good. And in the process of trying to make them really good, I end up stalling out and then nothing gets published. I don't have the discipline to keep moving. So it's easier for me to break it into smaller chunks and just do something like, I'm gonna get all 4 Eden guides out same day. And just as soon as one's done, start on the next one. And then as soon as they're all done, I can clear off that hard drive space. So I burn through like 1 terabyte a week. And from a content creation standpoint, it's hard because Stormblood was the first expansion that Brian and I covered from start to finish on the channel. Mm-hmm. That's the first one that the channel's old enough to have seen the whole life cycle. And you had all these videos and some did well and some did not. And some people really appreciated and some people pointed out how it could be better. And so you want to take this time and you're like, okay, this is my fresh start to do it right. And so you want to sit down and say like, well, if I'm going to remake a video that we made last time, right? So mm-hmm. like about like the changes to a class, for example, how would I do it differently and how would I make it better? And so that's the hardest part is you don't want to just redo something just for the sake of redoing it. You want to add something. You want, if it's going to be higher in the algorithm because it's newer, you want it to be because you're offering something better, not because you just reposted the same video. Mm-hmm. And so that's the hard part. And then the other thing is like, I want to just play the game so much and it would be easier to just sit and play. But with the way YouTube works, like it's in our best interest to post consistently and not do like a media tours type thing where like, okay, I'll just play for 2 months straight and then I'll put out 35 videos in one day. It's like, no, that's not how YouTube works. You should be putting out those 35 videos the whole stretch. That's going to do a lot better for the channel. And so you have to constantly think about that. Like you said, like once that's in your head, like,
yeah, it's just how you think.
There's no unlearning that. And so you kind of get in this habit of, okay, then where does this post fit? Where does this go? And so then people get a comment and that's the hardest part is when somebody has a comment and they're like, I want this guide. And you're looking at it and you're like, that's going to be like a couple weeks. Like that's, or longer.
Well, cause it's also to what Larry said, like I could put something out today and I don't think I wouldn't stand by it. Like it's just like rushing it. It's not about, you know, like, oh yeah, like, oh, I really didn't spend enough time. Like one of the things I've always tried to do when, especially what comes with any kind of class guide or anything is like, I like to like you said, Larry, I want to know it. I want to know it well enough that I'm not sitting here saying like, well, like just throw this over here. And they're like, that's the most important skill, you know, and you completely like ignore it. And it's like, you know, it's like, but it's going to be interesting to see. Cause the other part of this side of it is like, cause there is the exhilaration of new content. We had, you know, especially after a long gap from 5.5 to you know, 4.5, 4.55, yeah. 4, you know, whatever, to now where like, okay, well, I guess I'm just kind of prepping for the expansion or I'm playing another game. And now it's like, whoa, there's like, yeah, if you want to do a basically on every job, like, well, that's 17 jobs.
Yeah, that'll take all the whole expansion's life if I wanted to do that.
Well, for me, like when we started it, I was like, oh, I guess I'll do all the jobs and do controller guides on them. How hard can that be? And and that was in Stormblood. For the first part of it, when I did tanks, healers, casters, wasn't a problem. Like those mm-hmm. three categories, done, and it was done all the like when Stormblood launched all the way into like September. So it was a good period of time, but I spent time with the jobs. Really like had fun with them, and then melee DPS. All right, we finished. Like that's cross. Like okay, I know you know Shadowbringers is almost here, but we're gonna just get across that finish line, get over here. You know, it was so like because like they got to have that passion. And the other side of this is obviously like we've you know seen various like different we've seen a wealth of new content creators come in into the community and start making stuff. But we also have a lot of really good veterans who like I really enjoy their content. But there's also the risk of burnout. We've seen this recently with MTQ, and she was kind of talking about it. And she just got her Titania and like her Extreme Primal guides out there on YouTube. Mm-hmm. But like one of the things that I'd like to get your thoughts on, Larry, is that do you experience burnout? If so or not, like how do you go about preventing that perspective? Because it should be rooted in joy. Because there's nothing worse than like, this sucks, guys. I'm, you know, like you just kind of, we don't want to be bitter and be then overcritical. We're like, yeah, Black Mage sucks. All right. You know,
When I started, like, the first year, I definitely got burnt out, like, at about a year in, because that first year, I was pretty much just wake up, do YouTube, go to bed, wake up, do YouTube, go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
And I still work on channel stuff like YouTube and Twitch and all that stuff. I still work on that pretty much every day, but I don't wake up, do it, go to bed, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that made me burnt out when all I did was eat, sleep, and drink YouTube, right? So that did it. And then what I learned was that if you do it that way and you push so hard, you actually make your content worse and your ideas stagnate and you dry up the creativity wells, mm-hmm. right? You need time to let those creativity juices flow, right?
Yeah.
So you need to give yourself that time. And also, like you said, it needs to be rooted in joy, right? It has to be fun. And if you're having fun making the video, it's going to be fun to watch, right? That's pretty much all there is to it. If you're having fun, the viewer is going to have fun watching it. So that's the kind of approach that I've taken now, is I definitely still consciously always think about it, because that's just how I am. Like, I pretty much always will think about, like, oh, how can I make a video about this or something like that. But now I'll definitely consciously make the decision of, you know, oh, maybe that won't be so good, I won't do that. Or I really want to do this, so I'm gonna, like, work really hard on this one. Like the Dark Knight video that I did right before Shadowbringers came out, I was just like, I'm having so many feels about Shadowbringers and Dark Knight and Frey and all these things, I want to make a video about it. So I did. And I spent like a couple of days making it, right? So I'll get like spurts like that. But like when an expansion comes out, it's usually a sprint, mm-hmm. right? So I took a little bit of a break right before that, besides the Dark Knight video, because I wanted to.
Yeah.
So took a little bit of a break to like recharge the, you know, the creativity juices. And then my whole plan for Shadowbringers was get all of the footage, so the 22 hours of footage that I have, plus the footage from yesterday, because we recorded all of the Eden stuff. So now I'll be able to have a video of, I'm trying to decide, this is another decision of, how do you decide how to break up and cut these videos together? Like, I have the whole MSQ recorded, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to think of right now, maybe I just release it all as one big video of all cut up, like just the good bits,
mm-hmm.
of the whole MSQ, or do I release it in maybe three videos of 10 minutes each, or one 30-minute video? I don't know.
How do you ultimately make that decision then? Because right now you don't know. Like, what's your process?
What I'm going to do is completely edit the entire thing and then see what it's like all put together. If it flows really good and it feels good, I'll probably just make it one video. If it doesn't work like that and it's not integral to making sure the video is good, I could maybe split them up into 10 10 10 right? But if splitting them up into the 10 10 10 makes them worse, then I would just have the one of 30 minutes. Is pretty much how I'm gonna do it.
I guess we'll figure out what he decides here in a couple of weeks when
it has to flow.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. It has to flow. So I have that, and then I have like the endgame dungeons stuff recorded. I have the extreme fights. Those will be a video each, because there's lots in mm-hmm. there, right? So the two extreme primals will be their own video each. And then the Eden raids will all be in one video. I'll probably do that. Yeah.
Chris, what about you? Like, burnout and content creation schedule, like, how do you manage?
So content schedule, I found that, like what Larry's saying, if you want to wait until you want to make a video, then the other side of that is then I have to look at, a lot of times we do content that's relatively evergreen. So like, it doesn't matter when we publish it, publishing it 3 weeks from now isn't going to change it. And so what I found is if I wait till I want to make a video, that's all well and good. But if it's part of a series, I should wait to publish the beginning of that series until I have felt like and have succeeded in making all of it, where you end up with fishing part one and two of three, because my out part three for Stormblood and then I never made it, and so at this point I get like people where's part three. So I've thought about it, so I think I'm probably gonna have like a 5-part series on fishing this expansion that's a little more of a deep dive in the whole experience and in the role, and like as I kind of work through, does it really need to be 5 parts, could it be 4 parts, because I want to start to introduce the concept of collectibles and all this. I've realized whatever it is, say it is 4 parts, I should probably label it 4 of 5, just to mess with people. But I definitely feel like one of the things I do to prevent it is I just put it to the side. Like I don't, because I felt like once I published that first part, there was this pressure to publish part two, this pressure to publish part three. And if they weren't done, then I felt like I had to get to them. And I ended up, like, fishing is a good example of where I didn't. And then all that did was weigh on me for months and months until I eventually was like, I'm not doing that. And so then I became like bitter towards fishing, and I like fishing. I like fishing. I never made that guide out of like frustration towards the three part. So I think it's just a learning process on like what works for you. Burnout is definitely real. I feel overwhelmed with the content because I'm seeing all these creators like I respect getting to make guides on things. And I'm like, I want to make a guide on something like that. That seems fun. Like I want to make my version of that. You know, like Mione does such a good job of showing off like what you get and the loot and all that. But he doesn't necessarily always show a lot of gameplay. And the reason he doesn't show a lot of gameplay is he plays the game with a 6-second lag. So his gameplay is really difficult to do. I don't know how he survives anything. And so like, I would love to go do kind of the gameplay counterpart to a lot of his guides on the Fates, but when I'm still working through Gunbreaker, I'm still working through
the beginning of an expansion is a sprint. It's for content creation wise.
So on that, though, the fact that it is a sprint, like, and we've got so many more people that are creating content, which is like I always love, like the fact that the game is growing, the population is right now probably at an all-time high. They never really kind of officially tell us, but it's, you know, pretty much some of the things that we've heard, even some rumors that I've heard coming out of Blizzard talking about, like, you know, no one's allowed to talk about Final Fantasy. And I don't know like how true or not it is, but it's just kind of fun to kind of, you know, speculate, like, is Final Fantasy 14 now the biggest subscription based MMO? It is a possibility because no one's sharing numbers, so we can speculate. But anyway, on the concept of community growth, like, what would be some advice that you would have for these new creators, whether they're starting out or maybe they're recovering another game and they just discovered Final Fantasy 14?
Well, getting into content creation, like, that's like a question I get a lot.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people ask that kind of question, and I would say don't ask that question. Just do it. Okay, right? Like, you want to get into content creation because you want to create something, right?
Yeah.
So just make it. Like, if you have an idea in your head, you don't have to like ask other people like, should I make this idea or how do I make this idea? What you should do is start executing and just start doing it, and you'll learn along the way of how to make it better, right? Like, nobody starts off making great videos. I mean, maybe some people do, but like, you have to learn along the way, right?
Like, if anybody goes back to like our first videos, I'm sorry.
Yeah, same. Like, I can't go watch my really old video. I can't go watch old basically videos even. Like, I can't go watch my old stuff because I just go, oh, this is terrible. But that's how a lot of creators get.
I get the question about where people are, for like me, they're like, oh, I was thinking about making a controller guide, but that's your thing. And I'm always like, make it. Like, just like you said, like, I don't see YouTube as competitive anyway. Like, I've always viewed it as collaborative because, like, if, like, oh, Larry posted a video, our numbers are up. Thanks, Larry. Because it's like, YouTube's going to recommend videos for people to watch, and they might recommend some of ours if you make a video, if Happy makes a video of his tech. Like, it's like, I'm always like, yeah, make more content, please, people. That's great for the game. It's great for the community. And I think I get that. I don't know if you get that question. If somebody, like, not maybe saying like, hey, I want to make this, but feeling like they're encroaching on some kind of, you know, like, oh, look, you know, like, they've got, Larry's got the basically thing locked down, making jokes about like the jobs themselves. Like, what would you say to that? Like,
people ask me like if they can make a video like that. And I'm like, yeah. Like, you know, you didn't have to ask me. You could just do it. I'm not like the YouTube police.
Like, Squaredix had interviews. Only Larry got through. He officially owns comedy about jobs.
Yeah, you can't make it. I own that.
He pulled an EA and he licensed it from Square Enix, and so everybody else is going to get claimed. Just like, that's the thing about like when EA licensed like the NFL, I was like, gosh. Like, competition, I think, is good in that way. Like, you know, like, people make stuff and it inspires me and it makes me think of things in different ways. And I like it because I like to watch it. You know, there's the side of it is like, whether I'm making it, I'm also a consumer. You know, of the context. I'm always encouraging in that
regard. I watch like everything. I'm like a super 14 community consumer. Like I watch a lot of it, and maybe because like it is technically my job, like to know the community and like be part of it, right? So
yeah, if you're considered a community leader, which I would say you are, like that's what, like if you think about it, like you're known within the community. So yeah, you'd be expected because you're gonna get asked about it.
Yeah, like I get to be able to talk about it then, right? So like I watch pretty much like almost everybody's videos that I can. I mean, you know, you can't watch every single one, but
yeah,
watch a lot of it. And
us alone would run you out of time.
Yeah,
your clock, exactly. It may not be good, but we will fill your schedule.
Yeah. So yeah, like I watch a lot of it, and just I would say like the more content creators we get, the merrier. Like it's just. Mm-hmm. It's never going to be like saturated to the point where you can't start a channel. Like that's something like I used to see all the time too, is like, is it too late to start a YouTube channel? I'm like, no, it's never too late to start a YouTube channel. There's more than enough room for everybody on the planet to make videos.
Yeah. And it costs you nothing.
Yeah. And it costs you nothing.
Just get out there and get created. Well, get creative.
Maybe a mic.
Maybe a mic. Well, actually, yeah. Like buy a good mic. Yeah, you don't even need a good webcam. I think PewDiePie has proven that.
Yeah, Mike.
So I want any final thoughts that you'd like to share regarding either Eden, content creation, Shadowbringers as a whole?
Shadowbringers, what a big question.
It's the biggest question of all.
You can sum it up. 144 characters.
in a tweet?
Oh, yeah.
I love making tweets.
Can I give you access to my account so you can also tweet on my behalf?
I think the other really cool thing was they gave in the Eden raids, they get all of the bosses had like a lot of impact versus like in a lot of other tiers that we've had. You just go into a fight, you're like, oh, okay, here's a big snake. Oh, okay, here's this robot thing. Like it has no impact. It has no relevance to anything really.
Mm-hmm.
Versus like now all four of these bosses had a lot of impact on them. So it was just like cool fights, cool mechanics, just amazing music, mm-hmm. like great visuals, and also the story is good. So it was like the whole shebang. So I'm just really excited to see what the Savage is going to bring, because you know we'll be going through that, and I'm expecting the Titan Savage to be the best Titan fight we've ever had.
Chris?
I mean, there was a lot here. I'm excited how good Eden was. I don't know what they're gonna do with Savage. I look forward to them surprising us. And just keep playing, pace yourself. There's plenty of time between now and 8.1. Like, yes, Savage will be here before you know it, and you'll be into your weekly tome grind and stuff, but October, November is plenty far off. So like, if you're still in story and stuff, take your time. Advice to new creators is just keep posting. Like seriously, just put it up there. Just post. It's a real joy to share stuff with people, and YouTube's pretty good about recommending stuff once you cross some kind of, I guess, imaginary quality line that they decide. So the nice thing is it's kind of out of your hands. So you just keep posting and let them do it. There's nothing you can do about it. So I kind of took that as like a relief. Like it's not my job. I just put it up there and let them do the rest. It's a whole lot easier once you stop trying to like take the responsibility for getting the views and stuff. Just make the content you want to make. Other than that, I'm really enjoying Shadowbringers. It's one of the best gaming experiences I've had in at least a decade, all around every side of it. So it's pretty incredible.
All right. And then I guess that wraps up the show. I'm really obviously very pleased and looking forward to continuing kind of my weekly rotation on getting more jobs leveled and getting all my Eden weekly drops. I love the change. Like my final thought is the fact that you can get like all the gear pieces from all the fights. Yeah. I was like, this is great. Because it always ended up being like, okay, I got my accessories. All right, now I'm just spamming 3 and 4, you know, 3 and 4, 3 and 4. It's like that. That's all I like. No, like you can do the whole gambit, and it's going to be really exciting because they all have that value. So I was pleased to see with that change. Larry, where can people find you? Where can people follow you? And how can they say hi?
I'm Larry Zor on everything. So YouTube, Twitch, and Twitter is where I spend most of my time. So that's where you can find me.
Did you get your play button?
play button? I did. I got it.
Congratulations. Thank I know that you. Takes a while to come in. I know you crossed 100 a little while ago.
Thank you.
Congratulations, dude. That's amazing.
It's incredible for the 14 community to even have play buttons. Like, there's only a handful out there. There's three.
I think we have three, yeah.
You, Mystic, and Happy. Congratulations. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Well, yeah, be sure to include links to all Larry's socials in the description of this video, as well as whether if you're listening in an audio format or what have you. Chris, where can people find us?
Right here, wherever you're listening to us, as well as we post an incredible amount to YouTube. We've been starting to stream on Twitch a little more to keep our YouTube feed from being too clogged, but if you do want to go back and watch any of our YouTube stuff, we've just moved it to unlisted because it's so spoiler heavy. So we've been trying to just make it a little harder to find, so it doesn't accidentally ruin anything for anybody while they're still enjoying the experience there on YouTube. So yeah, that's it. I'm looking forward to WoW Classic, and hopefully I have enough Shadowbringers out of the way that I feel like I can take a break.
It's gonna be good. Like, it's always good to kind of have a good balance. I'm looking forward to it. Like, it's the year of Shadows for me. I'm been playing some Destiny 2. I haven't since Shadowbringers dropped, so I'm gonna get caught back up and get ready for Shadowkeep for Destiny 2.
Oh, you're like all darkness right now.
All freaking darkness, baby. Man. Or is it really light? Because it's like we had it all back.
Who knows?
Who knows what's happening? Guys, join us next week where we're gonna be having Mr. Happy on the podcast talking about all things Final Fantasy 14 and the future, what we can expect. We also got Rick Kakis, Kakis HD, coming on the podcast. Heels vs. Babyface is going to be on the podcast not too long from now. So we've got we actually have a lot more guests lined up. Pretty much we're scheduled all the way through September right now. So,
damn.
Yeah, we're it helps. It helps. Like, you know, things change, so we'll see what happens. We're looking forward to bringing you guys more podcasts. We thank you guys so much for watching for Work to Game. My name is Brian.
My name is Chris.
I'm Larry. Hello.
Thank you so much for tuning in, and we will see you next time.
Bye.
Whoa, you guys are the best. Jorge, Kyle, Philip, 31 Edwards, Rock Druid, Corey Longwith, Aaron, Axis, Hambone, Lady Wild to Plays, CN Navs, this is going too fast, Christopher, Phil, Shun, Dragons, Soul, Keen, Knights, Assassin, Carlos, Sherry, Robert, Leyland, Davon, Tim, Judge of World, Terra, Sora, Scrublord, Trevor, Mill, Little Almond, 70s, Kimber, Tyler, oh my god, I'm so sorry, Cody, Legend, Armin, Carlos, Endless, Jonathan, Jade, Sai, Derek, Brandon, Aaron, Riku, Daryl, Chemistrol, Lauren, The Wolf, The Gar, Kelly, Anthony, Solid, John, Huskry, oh my god, everybody, Dark Later, Christopher, Vestman, Sean, Nopi, Brian, Tom, Dylan, Silent, whew, I missed your names. I'm sorry. I love you all. Oh my gosh, that was tough.